Sunday a series called Deep, and I've had a lot of comments and a lot of feedback and a lot of people communicating with me throughout this week, and I appreciate that. I'm always happy to know that a message resonates or a series resonates. This is not something that we just plan out for the year and say, well, in August we're going to do this. We really, really, really strive and desire to be led by the Holy Spirit here at the church, and we want to communicate things that are going to help your life, bless your life, build your life. And I believe this is one of those series that absolutely has the power to do just that. And as I said last Sunday, we're coming out of summer, and you know, summer is a blast, and we, you know, schedules get really lax, you know, there's a little chaos in the house, and usually it's good chaos. It's kids having fun. It's mom and dad maybe not having to go in to work quite as early, or you've got days off or vacation that you are looking forward to, and it's fantastic. But sometimes in the midst of all of that, we disconnect spiritually, or we slip from our purpose. And certainly nothing wrong with rest. We all need rest, but I want to stay engaged in the things of God. And so Deep is an opportunity to do just that. Maybe you need that reconnection. Maybe you need that drawing toward the Lord and toward the things of His Spirit. And so last Sunday, and if you weren't here last Sunday, you can always catch up on our podcast. But the question that we worked through last week was this question that God asked: have you walked in search of the depths? Have you walked in search of the depths? And we came away understanding that deep is a decision. Deep is not mandatory. Deep is not required of anyone per se, but deep is a decision. It is a choice. And today, I want to go a little further in that. And I'm not even sure that these are sermons today as much as they are heart talks. But I know this of an assurity. When we came back for prayer on Tuesday night, I really believe that God was telling us we were on the right track. It was so powerful in this room. It was so incredible in this auditorium. And we're going to be back again this Tuesday at 6 o'clock. And if you can make that, we would love to have you any time. But I want to read today from the book of Ezekiel. And let me just give you a little bit of context on the book of Ezekiel. It's one of the major prophetic books of the Old Testament. There were major prophets and minor prophets. This is one of the major prophetic books of the Old Testament. And the book Ezekiel is comprised of six visions that he has. And those visions are ultimately broken up into themes. You have the judgment that was pronounced on Israel. You have judgment that was pronounced over the nations. And then the third theme is hope and restoration. Thankfully, today we're going to be in the hope and restoration section of the book of Ezekiel. You've probably had a hard enough week. We're not going to deal with the judgment today. But obviously, this being a prophetic book, these visions certainly apply to us. And clearly, they parallel the times that we are living in. We know that God was giving clue and that God was giving men visions. And He's saying there's coming a day, there's coming a time, there's coming an hour. And we know that we see those things. If you're a student of the Word, if you're a student of history, you certainly know that that is our reality today. But let me read these verses today, verses 1 through 6, Ezekiel chapter 47, and then I'll come back and we'll work our way through each one of these, and I think that you will hear God speaking to you specifically today. Ezekiel 47, beginning at verse 1, he says, "In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet and then led me across. The water was up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,750 feet and led me across again. This time the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. He asked me, 'Have you been watching, son of man? Have you been paying attention?'" I couldn't get the song out of my head as I was preparing this week. Heads, shoulders, knees, and toes. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes, and eyes, and ears, and mouth, and nose. Sorry to sound like First Baptist soprano today. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Anybody remember that? Just sing that to your kids, trying to teach them the various parts and places of their own body, self-awareness. Yeah, he's trying to help this man see, and I want to break this down today and see how this applies to you and I, because the questions that we worked last week, have you walked in search of the depths? We see clearly that not everyone has experienced this. Not everyone has walked in the deep. Not everyone has seen what the deep can do. In fact, we understand that if we want to experience it, we have to walk in search of it. We have to go after it. And that is significant, because the deep is not going to just come to you. You're not going to unload the car at the coast and step foot on the sand and the deep be just a few feet away. No, if you're going to get to the deep, you're going to have to process through the sand. You're going to have to get through all of the various depths of the water. You're going to have to walk in search of it. And so going a bit further today, I think, will help us to understand why. So he says in verse 1, "In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. And there I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out of the south side of the east gateway." The man is obviously the angel of the Lord. Ezekiel is very specific, and he's very detailed in describing what he is seeing. I think he's doing this for credibility's sake. He's saying, I know there's people that when you hear me tell this vision, you're going to recognize this. You're going to know exactly where I'm talking about. When I talk about the south side or the right side of the altar, you're going to know exactly to where I am referring. So he's being very detailed about what he's seeing and exactly what he is experiencing. And the Bible says that he sees a stream. He sees a stream of water. Again, in the Bible, water is always a type of the Spirit. It's a type of life or of refreshing. He sees this stream of water. And notice the Bible says that he sees this water flowing from the temple. It originates in the temple. It's flowing out from under the doorways. It's seeping out beneath the door clearings and the door jams. And then he says it's coming from the altar. I think it's important to just note today, to just pause for a moment as we build our time and this thought together. It's important to realize that after judgment has been seen, remember, this is the time of hope and restoration. There has been a pronounced judgment over Israel and over the nations. This is the time of refreshing. And he says, the healing that is coming to the people, the deliverance that is coming to the nations, it is originating in the church. The source of the healing, the source of the restoration, the water is coming from inside the temple. Its beginning place, its origin is the altar. I don't know if that seems important to you or not, but as I process the news and the current events of our day, we know that judgment is necessary. There's too much in the face of God today. There's too much happening that if God does not respond, then he probably owes an apology to many other people, generations that preceded us. So we know that judgment is necessary, but hear me when I tell you that the healing our world needs, the grace that our nation needs, the deliverance that our communities need, it has to begin in the house of God. Has to start right here. That's why we cannot become encumbered by all of the same issues that everyone else is battling. We can't be overwhelmed by the same things that everyone else is overwhelmed. Lord, we can't be offended by all the same stuff that everybody else is offended by, because we need water to flow out of this house. We need water to flow out from under these doorways. We need water to flow into the streets of our community, and we need it to begin right here. Ran into someone in town yesterday. They may be here in the audience today, but we were having a deep conversation while we were just visiting with one another, and he was talking about some of the things happening in our community, some of the things happening in our nation, some of the recent events of the last couple of weeks and how they have shaken America, and how they have moved people not toward one another, not toward a unified front, but even more divided than ever before. And he said, I'm asking you genuinely, Pastor, what is the answer? And I thought, as silly as this sounds, as elementary as this sounds, as simple as this sounds, I would love to wax eloquent in this moment. I would love to give an answer that just sounds so brilliantly smart, but all that could come out of my mouth is saying Jesus is the answer. And if his church is not who she is supposed to be, if the church is not as strong as she is supposed to be, then the world is not going to get its answer. Some of you are old enough to remember, but it's not been too long ago that the church literally ruled everything. They decided everything. They decided who was going to be in office. They decided who and what laws were going to. Everyone looked to the church for their answer, and the church had all of the power. They had all of the authority. They had all of the spiritual, strength in order order to shape a culture. But sadly, sadly, in this day and time, there is so much scandal in the church. Unfortunately, preachers aren't living any better than politicians. Oh, I will say, and I'm not afraid at all to tell you the truth. Somebody has to rise up and say, wait a minute, we have to protect the glory in this house. We have to protect the anointing in this house. Somebody has to say, hey, the Lord is holy, and that requires you and I live different than everybody else. Touch your neighbor and tell them, just hold on. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. But if we're not praying, if it's not sourcing here, if it's not beginning here, if it's not being established here, you better believe it. I'm trying to call people to a higher commitment than they've ever lived before. I'm trying to pull people up, not to live in the shallow places, but to go to the deep places. Why? Because I have tasted and seen and have experienced the anointing that was in this house on Thursday night while we prayed. It was the Lord saying, hey, you're on the right track. This is what I want my church to hear. Why? Because I've got healing for this community, and I want it to begin in this house. Does anybody want God to start it right here? Whew. So it came flowing from the temple. Came because the church, this church, has to be a source of water. We need healing for our hurts, healing for our habits, healing for our hang-ups, healing. Healing. We want our community healed. We want racism healed. We want addiction healed. We want marriages healed. We want our youth knowing their purpose. That's why we need an altar. We need an altar. Has to begin with a place of prayer. Has to begin in a place of worship. It has to be in an atmosphere that cultivates His Spirit, that allows for His Spirit to work. Verse 3, the Bible said, measuring as He went, He took me along the stream for 1,750 feet and then led me across. And then He tells us the water was up to His ankles. Measuring. You're going to see this happen over and over. He's measuring. Why is He measuring as He goes? I believe, first of all, God is a God of order. God is a God of explicit detail and specificity and really even greater than that, or perhaps more important than that, He's teaching him. I want you to know that we're walking 1,750 feet. I want you to know exactly how long it's going to take and exactly how far you're going to have to go. I want you to search the deep, but I want you to know where the deep is. I want you to know how to experience it. It's almost like He's dropping breadcrumbs to say, I'm going to teach you where this is so that you can find your way back here again. And He leads him across, but the water is only up to his ankles. It's only up to his ankles. It doesn't sound like much. It's just ankle deep water. I tried to figure out a way that I could create the visual today, but I could have gotten a kiddie pool with ankle deep water, but I'd have had to take my shoes and my socks off, and I don't know, it would have been a whole mess. But maybe you can envision today. Maybe you can see it in your own eye today. He's walking through ankle deep water. It doesn't sound like much, but I don't want to discount the ankle deep water, because we've been having some hot weather around here, and sometimes when you're really hot, sometimes when the heat is on, sometimes all you can do is just step into some ankle deep water, and there's something about your feet being in a cooler environment, something about your feet being in a place that is refreshing. It somehow affects the rest of your body. Sun's still beating on your shoulders, your top of your head is still sweated, but somehow you're feeling refreshed. I don't want to discount people that are in ankle deep water around the church Covington. I told you last week, we have a shallow end, and we protect that, and we value that, because I'm glad for anybody that's just kicking tires and checking out, trying to find out who we are. Or maybe you're saying, I don't know what all he's preaching. This is completely different from how I was raised, and I don't know, but I feel something, and I'm curious, and I'm interested, and I want to learn more and find out more, and I want to see what it all is about. And I'm just in that ankle deep water, but the Bible said that he led him across. And then, verse 4, he measured off another 1,750 feet and led me across again. This time, the water was up to my knees. Another 1,750 feet. What? I mean, you mean this isn't an instant thing? No. He had to walk 1,750 feet in search of the depths. You mean this doesn't just happen overnight? You mean this doesn't come the second Sunday? What do you mean? No, he's walking in search of the depth, because this isn't a drive through miracle where our order is prepared in 30 seconds. Let me ask you a question. Why are you willing to eat a burger that was cooked in 30 seconds or less? Why? It's not right. It's not normal. Why do we do that? And then we're frustrated if it takes 31 seconds. And it feeds into this culture that wants everything immediately. Wants everything right now, wants everything to happen, you know, without process and without struggle and without difficulty at all. But hear me, this is not a microwave miracle. There is a process involved. There is reaching that is required. There is a moving towards something that is necessary. But the Bible said that he led him across, and this time the water was up to his knees. Knee deep, progressive, becoming. Something is happening. After another 1,750 feet, the Bible says it was up to my waist. He's repeating the same steps, and now the water is to his waist. We see the progression of God things. The shallow is progressively becoming deeper, deeper. You know, I mean, I've been going to that church, and it's a little different. You know, I mean, it's you know, it's not too far out there, but it's a little different than anything I've ever experienced before. They're a little more lively than anything I've experienced before. What happened? You just got into some water that was knee deep. Just got into some water that was waist deep. You're just moving further into the things of God. You're just discovering that there's more to him and more about him and more for you. You're just learning. I've had people get so frustrated and say, why didn't the church I was raised in teach me about this? Why didn't they ever tell me to read that part of the Bible? Listen, don't be mad at anybody. Be thankful for whatever foundation and whatever contributing information information and teaching has gone into building that foundation. People that have been here for years that think you know everything, I want to tell you that you don't. The Bible said that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and it's not even entered into the heart of man, the things that are possible and available, the things that God can do. I want to tell people that think they've seen it all and experienced it all and felt it all, you've not experienced, seen, or felt anything compared to what God wants to do in this house. All we have to do is get hungry again. I'm preaching good today. It's up to his waist. Because the further you go in God, the deeper it becomes. And notice, the Bible said that he's being led by the angel of the Lord. That's significant. Devils do not lead you to deep places. Enemies do not take you to places that are good for you. The angel of the Lord is leading him. Why? Because God wants him to go deeper. That's why. Why am I feeling what I'm feeling? Why is this on me all week? Why am I hearing this message reverberate in my mind while I'm sitting at the office trying to do work, trying to process? Why am I feeling what I'm feeling? Because the Lord has something for you. He wants you to go deeper than you've ever been before. Somebody told me last Sunday after service, "Pastor, I'm scared." And I knew they didn't mean that in a way to say, you know, I'm literally scared, like I'm not coming back. It wasn't that. It was a holy fear. It was a trembling. I feel the Lord calling me. I feel the Lord leading me. But it's that unknown that I'm, it's that uncertainty. It's because I've never been there before. You know how we're kind of nervous when we walk into a room we've never been in before. You know when we don't know anyone and we're going for the first time. Our kids probably felt it last week when they were starting school, walking into a new classroom. The unknown always unsettles us a little bit. And sometimes spiritually, we can walk into a dimension, a place, a zone, an atmosphere. And it's like, wait a minute, this is out of my comfort zone. But the Bible said that the angel of the Lord was leading him, because he's wanting him to experience the deeper things of God. Ankles, knees, waist. It's all water, but there's more of it. Whether you've been living at ankle deep water, or knee deep water, or waist deep water, it's all the same water, there's just more of it. Whether you've been coming to church just once every 6 months, or whether you feel the Lord saying, hey, come on, jump in, serve, be a part. It's all just water. There's just more of it. I'm wading through, processing. I'm working. And then the Bible said that he measured another 1,750 feet and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk across. Hear me. They go another 1,750 feet, and now the river was what? It was too deep. Too deep to walk across. It was deep. I know he said we would have to walk in search of the deep, but if you keep going, it becomes deep enough to swim in. Ask a neighbor, this is good information. Ask them, can you swim? Can you swim? You know, there's a lot of people that don't know how to swim. I'm not making fun of that. There's a lot of people that don't know how to swim. Sometimes if you didn't start really young when your inhibitions were way down and you weren't afraid of things, but so many people don't start until late in life, and they're scared. They don't like it at all. People get really nervous about swimming, and here's the thing about walking. As long as you're talking about me walking, Pastor, I'm good with that, because when I'm on my feet, I feel like I'm still in control. That's why I like ankle deep water. That's why I like knee deep water. That's why I'm all right with even waist deep water, because as long, even if I'm in it, I know I feel the weight of the water, but I'm still in control. And you know what I can do? I can turn around and climb out of this anytime I want, because I'm still on my feet. But when you get deep enough that you can't touch anymore, and you got to rely on getting your hands up, when you got to rely, all of a sudden, when you get deep enough, you are subject to currents and tide and wind, and all of a sudden you are not in control, but the water is in control. I'm trying to help people see and realize and understand that while it may seem uncertain to you, and while it may seem unsettling to you, and while you may not be 100% convinced, because you like being able to plant your feet and control and decide when you arrive and when you leave, that if you get over there in the deep place and all of a sudden you start being led by the Spirit, you can get in deep water sometime if you're a fan of the ocean, and you can find out just how powerful the current is. Let's see, my umbrella is right there. It's where it is. But give me 15 or 20 minutes just floating, relaxing, resting in that water. I look up and say, wait a minute. What happened to my umbrella? It's way over there now. What happened? The water was carrying me. The water was moving me. That's what happens when you start living a Spirit-filled life. You start waking up in the morning and you decide which blue jeans you're going to put on, and you decide which shirt you're going to wear, and you decide which way you're going to go to work. But at some point, the Spirit takes over your life and He starts deciding who's going to cross your path and how things are going to work in your life. What happens? I get in that deep water and He starts moving me in the place and the directions and at the speed that He wants to move me. What would happen if your life started being led by the Spirit? What would happen? What would happen if our church would start being led by the Spirit? What would happen? What would God do? How great, how incredible, how powerful could it be if we got in the deep place? I guarantee you it would be better, all of it. Your life, this church, all of it would be better. You know why? Because His thoughts are not my thoughts, and His ways are not my ways, and His plans are better than my plans. You know that about God? Got a church full of control freaks. That's what we got. It's all right. I got a little in me too. I like to know. The Lord is too unpredictable. I got to follow Him at a distance. I got to stay over here in this knee-deep water, because if I get too far out there, He's going to ask me to do something that I've never done before. He just might. If I get out there too deep, He's going to ask me to give something I've never given before. He just might. But if He does, it's going to be because He knows you're already capable of doing it. We just don't trust Him. That's why people don't know how to swim, because they never had someone teach them how to swim. They never had a good teacher. My kids had a swim teacher they still talk about to this day. His name was Derek. And I don't know, Kristen may have hung out for a couple of them lessons, but I guess I'm guilty of dropping them off and coming back in an hour. And apparently Derek would pick them up. This is according to my kids' side of the story. I don't know. But apparently Derek would pick them up and throw them as far as he could into the deep end. Hey, they can swim, so it worked. I'm not arguing with Derek. May not suggest it for your kids, but, you know, my kids needed to be held under a little longer than others. I love y'all wherever you are, but they still talk about Derek. It's hard for us to go to a pool that Derek's name does not come up because they've never forgotten their teacher. Some of you, the reason you don't know how to swim is because you've never had a teacher. You've never trusted the Lord to teach you how to swim. If you don't trust the teacher, if you don't trust the teacher, then you're never going to learn how to process the powerful waters. But hear me, you don't have to fear because the Lord has you. He is the best lifeguard in the business. That's what she meant last week. Pastor, I'm scared. I got to make sure there's somebody that's got me. I got to make sure there's someone that knows where I am. I'm interested in deep water, but I got to know that everything is going to be all right. And then verse 6, he asked me, have you been watching? Have you? We've been walking. I love this. We've been going 1,750 feet at a time. And what I'm asking is, have you been paying attention? Have you been paying attention? I've been leading you. Come here, Randy, help me preach just a minute. We're not giving you a parking spot or a raise, but you can help me preach today. So I get to be the angel, sorry. You get the one, this is awkward, holding hands like this, so just. He's leading him. Come on, Randy, I want you to see this over here. I want you to experience this. Look, this is that ankle deep water. Yeah, over here, that's that knee deep water. We're climbing up and we're gonna get into that waist deep water. But then we get over here where there's deep water, deep enough to swim in. And the Bible said that he led him to the bank of it. And then he turned him around and walked him back to the beginning. Hear me, I want you to get this word picture, because he led him across ankle deep water, and he led him through knee deep water, and he led him through waist deep water. But when he got to waters that were deep enough to swim in, he said, you see this, don't you? You see what's available, don't you? You see what's possible, right? You're paying attention, aren't you? Now, let's go back to the beginning. And you're saying, why? Why would he do that? Let me tell you why. Because deep is a decision. I can't drag you out here to waters deep enough to swim in. You have to decide that you're through with ankle living and knee living and waist deep living. You've got to choose that waters to swim in is where you want to be. Thank you, man. You got to decide. Deep is a decision. You have to decide if you really want this, if you're willing to let go and see where the water, where the Spirit takes you. So the Bible said that he led him back along the riverbank. Don't misunderstand, this is not defeat. This is not negative. This is decision time. You look at verse 7 and beyond. I don't have that on the screen. You can read it later, but let me just encapsulate that for you and just give you the the crux and the gist of verse 7 and beyond. The Bible says that this man was surprised. He was surprised by all of the trees that were on either side of the bank. I don't want the verse on the screen. He was surprised by all of the trees that were on the riverbank. Why? It's interesting to me because if you think about this, they haven't been gone very long. They haven't been gone very long. They've walked 1,750 feet four times. 7,000 feet they've walked. 5,280 feet in a mile. The average person walks a mile in about 20 minutes. So you tell me how long they've been gone. I've been gone very long. Half an hour? But in the time they've walked in ankle-deep water, knee-deep water, waist-deep water, come to the banks of waters to swim in, and turned around, in half an hour, there are now trees alive on both sides in his vision. This is powerful to me because I want you to notice how fast new life came. I want you to notice how quickly revival came. Look how fast their situation changed. These are people that have been judged. These are people that have been living in famine. These are people that have been living in bad conditions. But in just a matter of time, in just moments, all of a sudden there is new life. And he goes on to tell him that, listen, where there is water, there is life. He said, in these waters are every kind of marine life and fish life. In these waters is all kind of breakthrough and blessing and sustenance and nourishment. In these waters is life. Everywhere these waters go, there is life. I need somebody to hear me today. Because if you get this water, if you get this water in you, then everywhere you go, there has to be life. If you get this spirit in you, then everywhere you go, there has to be revival. If you get Jesus in you, then everywhere you go, whether it's on the job, at school, in your neighborhood, at your family's house, it doesn't matter. Everywhere you go, everything has to live. All you have to do is choose that I want to get into the deep waters. That's the only decision. Everything changed. Everything happened, and it happened quickly because they decided to go deep. I can't live in ankle-deep water. Kiddie pool is just not enough. I got to get in some water that's deep enough for me to soak in, deep enough for me to experience, deep enough for me to plunge myself and feel the power of his spirit. He told him, he said, life will flourish wherever the river flows. Life. Pastor, I'm just not sure about the deep. I understand. I get it. Just not sure. But let me ask you a question today. What's dead around you? What's dead around you? I may need to narrow that down even more and ask you what's dead in you. What hope has been so long dormant? What passion has been dead for so long? What needs to live? Life will flourish wherever the river flows. What's broken in your home? Make a decision to go deep. Because life will flourish wherever the river flows. I get it. I want as many people from this community to come to this church. I hope hundreds come every Sunday. My vision is for services to be happening here all throughout the day. But until that happens, I don't want people just to come because they've heard what's happening in here. Let me tell you what the most effective advertising for God things is. It's when you go to work with a smile on your face and people say, hey, what are you smiling about? Don't you know that all hell is breaking loose in the world? Don't you know that there's crisis and struggle and trouble and pain and problems? And what is there to be happy about? I'll tell you. I went swimming this weekend. Been in deep water. I'm praying for you. I remember walking into a moving store one day. I was getting boxes. If you've ever moved, I've done it. I don't like moving. Okay. Not fun, but I was disheveled and a mess and, you know, sweated down, clothes are dirty and just, you know, moving. Needed a few more boxes and walked into a packing, moving U-Haul type store. And when I walked in, I'm sure I was probably a little frustrated with how the events of the day were going. I'm sure I was, you know, wasn't my normal pleasant self. But when I crossed the threshold of that store, looking broke, busted, and disgusted, the girl behind the counter visibly, she stood up. Who are you? I need a box. No, who are you? What do you mean, who am I? She said, there's God in you. I'm talking about ball cap. Shower needed long time ago. There's God in you. Tears are running down her face. And she's saying, my life is in such a mess. And I told God today, if you have a plan for my life, if you really mean what you say, I'm asking you to send somebody into this place. And a man who's filthy, dirty, comes walking in. We're going to make this quick. My wife said I couldn't be gone long. What's going on? Listen, if you get the river flowing in you, then everything you come in contact with, who needs new life? I'm wondering in this room if there's anyone who wants to go deeper. Anybody? Anybody? Here's the deal. Your feet may be as dry as corn husk. That's a picture, isn't it? Maybe it's been a long time since your toes have dipped in the water. Here's what we ask at the church. We ask that everyone takes one step. That's our goal. Just take one step. Which means if you have no experience with the water, just get in that ankle deep stuff. Just hang out there for a little while. If you're in the ankle stuff, you've been hanging around for a little while trying to figure it out, it's time for you to start moving. I know God's calling you. I know He's nudging you. I know He's pulling on your heart. It's time for you to find out what this knee-deep stuff is all about. And if you've been in the knee-deep stuff, it's time for you to get to the waist. But if you've been living in this waist-deep water, you know enough. Your hands are in that water every day. You feel it. You're splashing it. You're making sure that it's keeping you cool. Why don't you find out how wonderful it is to swim in the waters of the deep? I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. And eyes are closed. Just stay still for a moment.